This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
So, David, I want to jump back to your first gig, your first job that you got, and you had that week where you learned so much sleeping on the floor of your office. Was there a point early on that you thought, I think this is for me. I don't think I do want to go to law school. I think I'm going to stay in this industry.
It certainly wasn't in the first week when I was sleeping on the floor. But I stayed long enough at General Foods that I had moved around a few of their other brands and actually had spent 6 months, 8 months out in their sales organization learning about how the trade operates. And as every month went by, I was being exposed to more and more different consumer needs and segments, but these fundamentals were really solid. And I still hadn't mastered them by any means. But what I started to really get interested in was the psychology of what I call a market-led business model, not a product-fed. Hmm. Product-fed, hey, look what I can make, come and buy it. Market-led, hey, I understand what your unmet need is, and I'm going to develop a solution for it that creates value for you. And that's part psychology, that's part sociology, that's part analytics, that's part finance, that's part. So all of these little pieces really started to interest me, not any one specifically, but I would say the psychology of understanding people and trying to be one step ahead. Mm. How can you lead them as opposed to respond to them? I found that fascinating because you'll never perfect it and it'll always be needed. Mm. So I thought, there could be a career in this.
Is that interplay and how complex it is, but at the same time fascinating, is that what you were thinking about when you talked about seeing a decline in understanding of what a brand was and why you launched your own company?
That's a very good question. And the short answer is yes. All of us that had entered the kind of the packaged goods world, the brand management, Procter & Gamble, Campbell's, General Mills, Lever. These were all organizations that kind of did it their way, but we were all doing it the same way, which is we're going to train you how to run a business, not just do its marketing. And understanding a brand is an asset. Right? It's not a logo. It's not a name. It's actually got a financial value to it because it's your reputation. Seneca.
What's your reputation worth?
What's Seneca's reputation worth? The strength of that brand attracts all these fantastic students from around the world to it, right? And there's a value to that. And that's what we'd been trained to do. That's the perspective we'd been brought up on. Yet, for a whole bunch of reasons that I can get into at the right time with you if you ever want to, the 08 tech bubble, all the period that followed it, the growth in market capitalization really came from consolidation. This company buying that one, putting it together, getting rid of the duplicative costs, and off we go. Well, that's all great because what it did was replace the CEOs or the C-suites who had been brought up on this brand logic that I had. They were being replaced with largely financial minds. Really smart, so I'm not dissing them in any way, but they were financial minds, not brand minds. Mm. And to the average chief financial officer, hey, brand and marketing are costs, right? So, hey, we're having a bad quarter. Here, I'm going to cut your budget, right? Because they're variable costs. They're not hard capital. They're not. And I was like, well, whoa. No, this is an investment to grow the asset value of that brand. Yeah, whatever. Cut your budget. So I watched this, the mindset of the people who are leading these large organizations lose sight of what a brand was. And that ticked me off. I knew it not to be true from all the train, but it also was like, you're leaving, it's very short-sighted and you're leaving great value on the table. So as I became more senior in the industry, I was noticing that this was happening not just in the sectors I was involved in, it was happening broadly and across North America and Europe. And I thought, geez, if I am going to start my own thing, the advice that I had always been given is be passionate about whatever it is you're starting. And I was passionate enough to say, you guys are getting this wrong, or you're missing an opportunity. So I'm going to develop a professional service, a consulting firm, to help articulate what that missed opportunity was. So I knew that before we got a lot of business, there was going to be a lot of convincing that had to be done. And I kind of liked that too, because I went back to that, you know, that first week at General Foods. I had to learn it all, and I had to pull it all together. And I had to pull together a business case to say, I get what you're doing, but this could be another option. And, you know, I remember phoning CEOs when I started Level 5 and say, I want to come in and talk about your brand. And they go, oh, I've heard about you. Yeah. By all means, come on in. You know, we'll sit down. But if you're okay, I'm going to bring my marketing person in. And just to let you know, we've also just relaunched our website. And I'd be on the other end of the phone going, well, that's great. I'm sure it's a wonderful website. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about. And that, I think, for the smart CEO, they go, then what are you coming to talk to me about? That there was the door opening. Right?
Yeah.
So I had to have my story damn real tight. And I had to have proof points that there could be another way to think about your business and leverage your brand. And that seems to have worked, because if you had told me 22 years ago Level 5 would still be in business, let alone have grown into Canada's largest boutique agency or consulting firm, I would have told you you're nuts. But we have. So.
Well, obviously you mastered that art of convincing and presenting, and those are some of the skills that we focus on at Seneca in multiple programs, and also that ability not to have blinders on, the way some of those executives that you talked about were focused only on the bottom line, but being holistic and having the ability to take feedback from teammates.
Right.
How important are those skills in your industry?
Oh, just number one, probably the most critical. You know, I think I told you I've written three books on this, and the last one was did an awful lot of global research. And the title of the book is The Brand-Driven CEO, because what I discovered is, based on their performance and the value of their companies, the brand was actually something that the most senior person in the organization took ownership of, which meant they had to build a team to align to that thinking, that perspective. They had to be able to therefore create a culture. They had to be the best communicators up and down. Like, they had to be able to convince investors and boards and everybody else that there's a stronger way or a different way of doing this. But increasingly, especially over the last 20 years, that ability to communicate down through an organization, to socialize this mindset, this perspective, and to get people aligned to it, it's not easy. You know, you can get a lot of people in a room and, okay, here's the vision of the company, and they all kind of nod and go, okay, here's my free tuna sandwich, and, you know, and that's great. And they walk out going, whatever. But the smart folks recognize that in order to get that alignment, they had to be able to tell the story in a way that says, and oh, by the way, here's what that means for you.
Yeah.
And the value, the opportunity that that creates for you. And I don't care whether the you is the janitor or the overnight security guard or the chief financial officer of the company or an investor in the company. And it's for that reason that I discovered through the global research that in each case of the companies that I really dove into, the brand was owned by the CEO, and the number one skill they brought was communication.
And then following through on that communication, like the value of a promise kept, right?
Which is my definition of a brand.
Yeah. We are here with David Kincaid, who is a marketing legend. I don't think David is crazy about me repeatedly saying he's a legend, but he is the founder of Level 5 Strategy and also just very, very successful with multiple companies in the industry. Now he's a senior leader. And David, I wanted to ask you about giving back to students, to young people, mentoring. What are your thoughts on what a young person should be thinking about today who's about to enter into the industry?
Well, I'll preface it by saying I have tried to take advantage of that opportunity you referred to from the, I teach at an MBA program at another school. I've actually been a guest lecturer at Seneca a number of times, York at Schulich. So I enjoy that process, not because I'm here to pass on wisdom, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I've just got 45 years of experience in making a lot of those mistakes. So I just package them up and say, don't make the same mistakes, or at least think about what it takes to not make those mistakes. Number one. Number two, the other reason I do it is I learn so much. Mm. I mean, you know, despite best efforts, and I think a marketing career puts you in the right, one of the best positions to do this, but you got to stay in touch with the world, with the consumer, with the marketplace. And, you know, at some point you realize, Christ, I've become my father. I don't know how to work my cell phone as well as I should, or, you know, you just kind of fall out of touch. Well, it's hard to be a great brand leader if you're out of touch. Mm-hmm. So listening to what these students teach me every year is really the value in it. So therefore, what should a student be thinking about? Number one, I would say, go back to my opening comment, don't get stuck in a flight pattern that says, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do for the next 20 years or build my career around. I just don't think that type of certainty exists anywhere, you know, from a corporate standpoint. But also, hey, we're all human. We all have a range of interests and competencies and capabilities. So the broader the experience base you can develop over time, all that does is set you up to be able to reflect on it and to pull out the that worked, that didn't. Why? And you play that out in your own mind. Then you can test it off of people, and they, you know, help you grow that line of thinking even further. So being open to people and experiences would be my number one. Number two is, in today's world, with the way information is made available and the way it's shared, I think sometimes too liberally, between you and I, don't get me going on the role of social media and the bad media that can sometimes create. But I think it's very, very important, and I say this to my to the employees at Level 5, is know a little about a lot, right? Read the paper. Know what's going on in other parts of the world. Know, and if that's, some of them are political issues, some of them are economic issues, some of them are technology-driven issues. Just be aware of the world you're living in. Because again, you might learn something that goes, that's kind of really interesting, and I'd never even had that on my radar screen. I'm going to go and explore it. I'm not saying you're going to take a job there, but it keeps your mind active and engaged, and you don't get stuck into a rut.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is, my father and my grandfather gave me some great advice. They said, to do well in business, die with more friends than employees. And when I was 21, I had no clue what they meant by that. But 45 years later, Level 5 would not be where it is today if I hadn't had a chance to meet this huge range of people. But in meeting them, more than not, I treated them nicely. Just as people. You know, I wanted to help them. I wanted to listen to their story. I wanted to, you know, and if I can't help them, I can't help them. But at least they feel like, hey, somebody was at least willing to hear me out. Right? Now, there have been a certain group of people who might be listening to this that go, I worked for him 15 years ago. I thought he was the biggest jerk in the world. And yeah, I ain't perfect. So I know I ticked some people off, but I think every time I did, it hurt me. And I learned from that. So die with more friends than employees. Don't worry about how many people you've got. Worry about the kind of relationship you've got with them.
That is such great advice. And you know, it reminds me that we have a mutual friend, Nancy, who is one of our star marketing profs. Can you talk a little bit about how you met Nancy and that relationship?
Nancy Bodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love her. So I actually met Nancy through her husband. So Steve. And Steve was an individual who had just, I guess, been given my name, going back to what we just talked about. And he said, hey, look, I'm in transition between jobs, and I've been given your name by two or three people. Would you be willing to sit down and have a coffee or a beer, and just maybe just give me your point of view on me and opportunities? I said, sure. One thing led to another. Steve ended up working at Level 5 in its early years. and did a wonderful job. And Steve is probably, I can understand why he and Nancy are together. Steve is probably the nicest human being on the face of the earth. Mr. Positive, Mr. Genuine, like he's just wonderful. And he didn't have exactly the skill set that I needed for level five, but I wanted him as a friend. Go back. I didn't need an employee. I wanted a friend. And I said, he's the kind of guy I want to hang around with. And we did. And he did wonderful work. And during that work, a client opportunity came up that I asked for Steve's assistance on. And that relationship between him and the client started to really percolate nicely. And I, in the background, I'm going, fantastic. Like, this is exactly. And Steve really started to take an interest in the client's work. And that one thing led to another. And I had a discussion with the client's CEO and said, well, what if, I think the word I used originally was, what if I loan you Steve? Because they were looking for a head of marketing. And he says, you do that? I said, well, yeah, sure. So I said, but let's let Steve decide. It's not a transaction, right? So they met, and you know what? They hit it off, and one thing led to another, and Steve ended up as the head of marketing at the company at the time was called Union Energy. And with Steve's help as the point person now at the client, we repositioned and did all the strategic plan and had to create a new corporate identity. And it's now today known as Reliance Home Comfort. So working with Steve, I like to say we created Reliance Home Comfort. And during all, that was like a three or four year exercise. And through all of that, he introduced me to Nancy. And I remember going to dinner with them. I said, you know, Steve, I have enough of you. Like, you're boring. I want to talk to your wife. And I mean that in a really respectful way, okay? Because I just loved her energy. I loved her openness. I loved her authenticity. And at the time, she was organizing big music festivals. And I'm a musician. That's how I put myself through university. And I thought, she's cool. I like her. And one thing led to another, and then she moved here, and we've kept the relationship with both of them. Actually, they're coming over to our cottage in a few weeks. Kept it alive because more friends than employees.
Absolutely. And you can't make old friends, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. And Nancy does, she does such a wonderful job here for events focused on students where she brings in I'm always impressed with the relationships she brings to the table.
Yeah,
but it's because of the way she's able to be authentic and connect with people and then maintain those relationships as well.
Well, it's funny to go back to communication. Like, she is a master communicator. Because I joked with her this one time. I said, you know, you follow my mother's advice when I started dating girls. And she thought, well, what do you mean? I said, my mother's advice was learn how to talk through your ears. Be a great listener. Not I hear you. Be a listener. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking you in the eye and I'm listening to what you are saying and what you're trying to tell me. And then I communicate based on that. That's Nancy Bodie.
100%. David Kincaid, it's been a pleasure. Is there anything else you want to add before we end today?
No, I think you've asked wonderful questions. I would offer any students that want to chat. I try my best to stay engaged, even if I might not be your professor or whatever, but you know, I'm always reachable by an email or a call, and I'm happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much. David Kincaid, founder of the Level 5 Strategy Group and inductee into Canada's Marketing Hall of Legends. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design. Produced by Seneca's Radio Broadcasting Students.